From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. Speaking on Libyan state television last month, Saif Gaddafi, son and partner in kleptocracy to Muammar, told Libyans what their country wasn't.
The young people who are in the street trying to imitate what happened in Egypt. Libya is not Egypt.
Fair enough. Libya isn't Egypt. And sure enough, the Gaddafis haven't been squeezed out of power as easily as Hosni Mubarak was. But if not the Egyptian revolution, what comparison does suit the Libyan crisis? As events have unfolded, from street protests to civil war, U.S. pundits and politicos have rushed to invoke their own historical analogies for Libya. Democrat Anthony Weiner suggested Libya was like Rwanda. Conservative pundit Charles Krauthammer chose another African country.
Libya will probably end up as a failed state. It could end up like Somalia.
On Fox News, the preferred analogies are generally Afghanistan and Iraq.
So isn't this what President Bush went through in 2003 with the invasion of Iraq?
Except for the channel's resident liberal, Alan Combs.
This is much more like Kosovo than Iraq or Afghanistan.
Foreign Policy Magazine's managing editor Blake Houndshell says that to understand this plague of comparisons, it helps to know that there aren't many who know what we, the audience, do not know. Pundits abhor a vacuum, he says, and will fill it with just anything, informed or not. I asked Houndshell for his analogy.
No historical analogy is perfect, but I think the closest parallel we have is actually Bosnia. This operation in Libya is a humanitarian operation. There are very few pragmatic reasons to go in there aside from saving civilians from an impending massacre. Unfortunately, in Bosnia, we weren't able to save thousands of people quickly enough.
Yeah, actually, I was going to quibble with you on exactly that point. There was more than a year of dilly-dallying. And even then, such limited rules of engagement that enabled Bosnian Serb forces to massacre thousands and thousands of people. The Libya intervention, you know, has happened in a matter of just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and that's exactly, I think, why it unnerves a lot of people who really weren't following the debate and weren't prepared when President Obama made the decision to act.
In some ways, the comparison game, as you suggested, is verging on silly. But can we trust that the motivation of those who are invoking one bit of history over another is to really clarify and frame the significance of this as opposed to some, you know, perhaps more nefarious political purpose? When Newt Gingrich shows up to compare Libya to Iraq, do we have any reason to think that he's seeking the right historical context or just flogging a political point of view?
Well, you know, it's funny. Newt Gingrich was beating up Obama for not intervening, and then after he didn't intervene, he criticized Obama for intervening. So I think we can assume that Newt Gingrich is just looking to score political points one way or the other. But I think raising Iraq raises an interesting subject because I think a lot of us are still refighting the Iraq war and looking at Libya through the lens of Iraq. But it's a very different situation. It's a very different moment in history, and I think it's a flawed analogy for many reasons.
As you've watched the coverage and read about it, is there anything that struck you as particularly ill-informed?
There was a piece in The Nation by Robert Dreyfus arguing that Obama made this decision and it was his female advisors who sort of bewitched him into it. And he's bucking international opinion on dubious legal premises. He actually used the line that Gaddafi is making some good points, which I thought was just so morally obtuse.
And as you watch TV, have you wanted to climb through the screen and shake anybody and say, don't talk about that, talk about this?
Well, you know, what really chafes me is when the sort of broader cable news shouters get involved. That's usually late in the game. And it no longer becomes a story about Libya or Bahrain or Iraq or wherever. It becomes a story about U.S. politics. And it becomes, you know, this partisan slugfest. And, you know, these are people fighting and dying and risking their lives for freedom. And to see it dragged into this usual partisan shouting match is really depressing.
I certainly know a lot more about Libya than I did 3 weeks ago. Please tell me it's not all a bad news story of ignorance and political posturing, please.
No, absolutely not. And there's been a lot of good commentary in the newspapers. And there's been a lot of really courageous, insightful reporting from the front lines as well. There was a particularly good column in the New York Times on Thursday by Nick Kristof, a columnist who's been traveling around the Arab world for the last few weeks and covering these Arab uprisings. And he made the point that, look, I know that there are a lot of people out there that are worried about the risks of this U.S.-led intervention in Libya, but this is the first time I think we've ever seen Arabs cheering on a U.S. intervention in their country. And I think that's a real important watershed moment.
Blake, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was my pleasure.
Blake Hounshell is managing editor of Foreign Policy Magazine.